Massive fan of basketball.
I'm glad you looked at 8 years anyway, not no. three.
Try before you subscribe.
There's always good guests, aren't
you? You're either a player or you're a coach for me, yeah.
It's brilliant.
Get 3 free podcasts per month. Just download the Off The Ball app now.
Highly recommend it.
This is Off The Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Delighted to say we've got Jamie Finn with us in studio. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
In
thanks for having me.
Reflective mood as well.
Yeah.
So for people who are unfamiliar with your story, you did your ACL in February at training.
Yeah.
Was it non-contact? Was it a...
Yeah, it was with the Irish team. We were training in Italy. Yeah, non-contact. Just kind of running up to press one of the girls and she went one way. I tried to go that way as well. And yeah, my knee just went in.
And do you know straight away because it's non-contact? And
yeah, like... I heard a pop, so I think that was the main thing. Like, you know, it wasn't good news if I heard that.
Was it very sore?
Like, it was sore, but it's kind of weird. It was sore initially, heard the pop, and I couldn't lift my leg off the floor. Then went off to get the scans, and the pain really kind of dies off. Mm. And so I was like, oh, maybe this
okay.
is okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when you speak to a lot of people who've done it, it's
that's
similar.
Common, yeah.
It's
some
crazy.
People walk, get up and walk off and think, I'm going to be okay here.
Yeah, and some people play on as well.
Was it grass or astral?
Grass.
Yeah, so it wasn't like, it wasn't the fault of the surf.
No, yeah.
So when you go one way and like kind of, yeah, one goes the other.
Yeah.
And so immediately that happens and it's diagnosed. What do you feel?
Honestly, I don't know. Like, the doctor and physio just came, but I knew, you know, it was just them confirming the news. Like, it was heartbreaking. I was just like, why me? Like, after everything I've been through, like, why did I get this injury? And it was tough.
How long does that last? Are you still in the middle of that?
Probably. Yeah. No, like, I think once I got the operation, I was like, right, let's get into the rehab now. And I think that's when it's like, okay, I have this. There's no point dwelling.
Mm.
There's no point sitting here and dwelling on it. Like, so got the operation, got everything rolling.
Because there are, not to be ridiculous about this, but there are good ACLs and there are bad ACLs. The ones where you need to wait a month or 2 months for the swelling to come down.
Yeah.
Someone has come out and taken your knee out.
Yeah. And that mine, tends, yeah. Yeah, mine was like, so thankfully I only done the ACL. I tore the ACL. Like, other people do a lot of things within the knee as well, which requires a brace and stuff. Whereas mine was just ACL on crutches for 2 weeks and then let's get going. So yeah, I was lucky in that sense.
When you're talking about everything that you've been through, missing out in the World Cup squad, is that what you were talking about?
Yeah. That was probably the main thing.
Yeah. And so you come back from that stronger and better and more determined than ever.
Yeah,
and then
this happens, yeah.
Yeah. Did you make peace with the World Cup thing yet?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like, listen, that's... It was a huge thing in my career. Like, anyone who grows up playing for Ireland, get to the senior team, you want to play at the World Cup. That's the main thing. So yeah, not to make it was fairly difficult for me, and then even more difficult to go over and be involved and not be involved at the same time.
So that's the other side of this that maybe people are slightly unfamiliar with. You travel, and I presume you get all the gear and you're part of everything and you're rooming with everybody and you're training all day, every day, and then the squad gets named and the team gets named and you're not even allowed to be a part of that. You're kind of almost, you're there, but you're semi-invisible.
Yeah, that's basically it. That's it in a nutshell. Like, I was basically a player but didn't get to step foot on the pitch. And that was it.
How do you deal with that? So do you go, like... Say you think in your head, okay, I've been wronged here, right? I deserve better. But do you then go around looking for people to agree with you on that? Or do you, like, how did you, because it's hard to process that. And it's not like you're playing the pub team. This is in the public lair as well. Like,
yeah, it was a very difficult situation because obviously it's a team sport. And
exactly.
The girls are at a World Cup. Like, I'm not going to sit in the corner and kind of cry about it because I agreed to go and I had to put on a brave face to help them train for one and prepare them for the games.
Yeah.
And that's what I agreed to do. So, yeah, I think I just, like, put my feelings to the side and just, yeah.
Was that hard?
Yeah, very difficult because I was basically looking at other people living out my dream to play at a World Cup. So
now, that can kill you or it can definitely make you stronger.
Yeah.
And it can probably do a little bit of both.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you make sure that it doesn't kill you and that it is actually fuel for that fire when you're now doing all the boring stuff in the gym, going, actually, you know what, next time this happens, I'm going to be on the pitch, not like a sub. I'm just going to be absolutely making sure that I'm one of those people who are setting the tone. And
yeah, like, I think for me, it always came back to playing for Ireland. That was my goal, my aim. It comes down to wearing the green jersey. So if that was to go to Australia and do what I had to do and come back, and that was always in the back of my mind. Like, I could have went the opposite direction, but I didn't want to. I wanted to play for Ireland, so that's what I came down to.
Are there benefits from having been out there and seeing what happened? And like, is there, did you get it, become a better footballer from that experience?
Yeah, I think more so mentally. Obviously, I've learned how like tournaments go, and obviously we want to be there. We want to be at the Euros next World Cup. So yeah, I've learned that way as well. But I think mental toughness was a big one for me.
Did you get help with that? We've been fascinated by people's different approach to sports psychology on the show this week. Daniel Whiffen, not interested, was told he's borderline delusional by a sports psychologist that you don't need me. And yesterday with Mona McSharry on, and she was like, you know, the sports psychologist has been unbelievably important in her getting bronze medal by 1/100 of a second.
Yeah.
So what's your approach to this?
Yeah, I would agree with Mona. I think like everyone's different, obviously. It doesn't suit everyone, but yeah, I've utilised it and I will going forward. I think it's brilliant. If you can use that 1% extra off the pitch to make you a better footballer, why not?
Do you get that from Birmingham? Do you get it from Ireland? Is it like
kind of both? Yeah, right. Both.
So Ireland have access to it, that's through the Sport Institute?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting, because like it definitely feels like these are the areas that we can make leaps in more quickly than almost anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, like I said, clearly doesn't suit everyone. So you have to try it first and see.
Talk to us about the recovery. How's it going?
Yeah, so I'm 5 months post-operation now. Yeah, just kind of working away in the gym, hopefully running in about 2 or 3 weeks. And yeah, that's the next milestone.
Have you been talking to anyone who's been in the same boat, like, about the recovery?
Yeah, like everyone is really different. The knee is like different for absolutely everyone. But yeah, I've been talking to a few, but I think it's just like for me taking it week by week and seeing how the knee reacts. But touch wood, everything's going.
How did the club deal with it?
So they've been really good, actually. It obviously happened on international break, but they agreed for me to do the surgery at home, and I've been at home ever since. So they've been brilliant with it.
How was that like being at home?
Yeah, actually really nice, because as a footballer, you never get time to be at home for that long. So it was really nice to spend time with family.
When did you go to England? What age were you?
I was about 21, I think.
Right. And was that like, we're kind of, everybody's different now. Players are going over much later in the women's game than some of the lads would have gone over. Players are going over much younger now than they would have when the WSL was kicking off. Was that about right for you in retrospect? Did you feel like you had enough experience built up?
Yeah, I think so. I think I was in the senior team at that stage as well. I think it was the right time for me to go, and yeah, luckily it worked out. Went over to Birmingham and been there ever since.
And how is that life as a full-time different from what it would have been like here if you'd stayed?
It is different. Obviously, we train more on the pitch, more off the pitch, analysis and stuff like that. It was difficult to adapt at the start, because obviously I was going from Shells part time to full time environment, and in the WSL, obviously one of the best leagues around. So it was difficult at the first season, but yeah, then adapted into it.
And what was the difference between it being difficult and feeling like you'd adapted? What do you think are the things that you would kind of say?
I think with the games, I think you're nearly playing an international game every weekend in that league, and that's a different standard to the league here. I think that was the main difference, really. And then training, obviously, was more intense.
Because we were talking with Vinny Perth yesterday about Mason Melia and what his future is, and just the difference that would be if he was to go and join a big European team. Like, playing week in, week out is great, but it's the full time, it's the, like, it's your meals being looked after, it's someone monitoring your nutrition. Yeah. It's just it's a ramp up at a scale that we kind of can't really match here.
It's definitely doable if you have the right people and the right environment around you to support you. I was lucky when I went over, there was, I think, maybe 4 or 5 Irish girls there at that stage. So, like, that's really important off the pitch to settle in and stuff like that. So,
and in terms of what we could do for the players here in Ireland to try and make sure that the gap from the National League here to the WSL or the Championship isn't as pronounced, what do you think now, knowing everything you know, would be the best thing that we could do?
Yeah, it's difficult, because I think it always comes back to time spent on the pitch. Like, yeah, I think some of the teams only train twice, max probably 3 times, because they're juggling a job too. So,
yeah,
like, it's difficult when you are juggling that job and coming to training, and then you have players who maybe are at the latter stages of their career. They're just playing for the love of it in the league, and then you have the younger players who obviously want to progress, and so it's difficult to get that balance of
It's a very tough one for the League of Ireland, to be fair, because like even on the men's side it's only getting to the professional stage now, so to monetize it with all the difficulties the FAI have, like I don't know, is it, how can it bridge that gap, because it is difficult considering the money in England, like
obviously it comes back to money as well, like and facilities, and is it possible, is it feasible to be that full-time environment? Yeah.
Have you felt in, say, the half decade or so you've been in England, have you felt how much the women's game is progressing in that time? Because like it just seems to be just exploding from like a base where it was here, like to where this could go potentially, but it's happening quite fast.
Yeah, it is. And I think hopefully it just keeps going in that direction, because you can see the quality the women's game has. And I think everyone is seeing that now. Mm. You know, I think it was the norm years ago for everyone to sit down and watch a men's game. There was no like, oh, we're going to sit and watch a women's game. Whereas now it's, norm really, and families, young kids, to sit down and watch the women's team play.
And the kids as well. So they're young girls are getting a lot of exposure to women playing football, and you can just see how this is going to, like say 10 years time, where this could be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they could be making the millions.
Yeah.
The young kids. No, but listen, that's where we want to set the pathway for the kids. Like when I was growing up, there was a few, not many, but whereas now there's a lot of players going to England to play professional football and representing their country. So,
and what you did at the World Cup, Jamie, do you think down the line, like when you wear the Irish jersey again, you look at yourself in the mirror and you say like, I got through this, I actually, like, you know, I did the right thing for my country at that time?
Yeah, I hope so, and I hope people see that because again, like as I said, it's about my country, and it's about, I'm very proud to represent Ireland, and it always came back to that. It always came back to representing Ireland and the green jersey. And listen, if it helps other people as well, like in your career, you're never going to win every single game. You're never going to get selected every time. And I think for young kids, like, how do you deal with that? Like, how do you deal with not getting selected for a team?
Well, there's a resilience there that you've displayed that many people would be like, how did you do that? And your ability to talk about it afterwards and use it as fuel is presumably going to drive you for the rest of your career in many ways.
Yeah, hopefully. And as I said, if it can help one kid growing up in their career, I'll be okay.
I remember as a kid, like in my last season playing as a senior, when I was playing for my local team, when I was dropped for the cup final, I absolutely did not want us to win that game. And I remember, like, this was a selfishness in me where, and I didn't come off, I was really selfish, but I said to myself, this is just, I can't not be this. And what you did, like, is completely the opposite of that, where it's like, this is a pain in the ass, but I just got to do it.
Yeah, and like, as I said, I think kids are growing up, it's in the media, it's all, oh, we've won this, we're getting to this team. There's not many people who come out and talk about, no, I actually didn't make the team, and I've played so many games, and how does that impact me? Like, do I want to play football again? Like, not, you know, so it's all those questions are opened up. And as I said, hopefully if anyone's gone through that, you can see. And
Elite sport is really hard.
Yeah.
Like as a kid, when did you begin to think that you might be able to go professional?
I think probably my days with Shells. Like I started with Swords Manor fairly young. I was 5, then went to Shells. So
who was managing at Shells?
It was Casey McQuillan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think, well, I went with Rohini, and then Rohini and Shells merged. So probably my Shelburne days,
And do you think I can make a career out of this then? Like I can actually make money out of this at that time?
Do you know what? I was never thinking like the money side of things. Right. I was always thinking, no, I want this to be my everyday.
And
like,
I want to play for Ireland.
Yeah. That was the thing, yeah.
But like presumably you still had to make a plan for school and like an alternative in case it didn't work out.
Yeah, like, and that's very like vital that nowadays, because like as you can see, anything can happen with injuries. I actually done a course in personal training, so I worked as that as well as playing with Shells.
Having that outside thing, I think, is really beneficial, particularly in not going crazy. You know, because all you're thinking about all the time is I need to look after my diet, my recovery, the tactical, the technical analysis. I'm looking at video the whole time. That level of dedication is important for some people, but most people, it drives them mad.
Yeah. It's important to have like other stuff. And obviously you're around a team environment all the time. So when you meet up with people who actually don't play football or, you know, that's kind of beneficial as well.
Totally.
Like not to talk about it, you know, because it's, you're consumed with it every day. So
yeah, and this slice now of time away, are you beginning to think about life after football? I mean, I know you're very young to be thinking about that, but at the same time, you've had this kind of shocking realization that, ooh, this can be taken away instantly.
Yeah, I think you think of that, like naturally you think of, oh God, yeah, it could be taken away. And you think of after career, I'm hopefully finishing up my UEFA B pretty soon. And yeah, I've done some punditry stuff as well and I've really enjoyed that.
Yeah,
so you're saying all the football. Right things to be a coach. You're actually selfless. Like, this does matter. Like, you know, it is because it's like the coach. It's like you. This is the team. It's like this is. So yeah, that's going to serve and the PT maybe as well.
Yeah. Hopefully a mixture of everything. Yeah.
So if you're running in a couple of weeks, is it fair to ask when you might be kicking a ball or even better training/playing?
Yeah, like if I play minutes in the new year, I'll be happy enough with that.
Right.
And obviously you're looking at the Euros in the summer. So if I'm back in the new year, I'll be hopefully, looking good.
Right, okay. And so will you head back to Birmingham in September, October?
Yeah, pretty soon. Yeah, back running and touching the ball and head back over to the team, yeah.
Right. Well, listen, we wish you the very best of luck. It's a remarkable story. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you.
A reminder, Jamie Finn is actually an ambassador for the Very Great Pink Run, which takes place on Saturday at Leopardstown, on Sunday in Kilkenny, and then again on the 8th of September in Cork as well. So if you just Google Very Great Pink Run, you'll find out all the details for that and you can support it.